It's Ari Rosenbaum here with another fun-filled episode of that 4K podcast. This week's subject, we are going to talk about bad behavior that, you know, you shouldn't be replicating as a plan provider. Really some of the things that I've seen over the last 22 years, and some really tidbits of, you know, attitudes and behavior that really reflect negatively on you. So, should be a lot of fun, and we'll talk about some of the things that I'm involved with at this moment, you know, dealing with plan providers. First things first, let's talk about some of the events that we're working on. On Thursday, March 11th, that 4K Virtual Bunch returns with special guest Dan Venturi, 4 p.m. Eastern. We'll find out about 316 services, how Dan got involved in the 316 business, what sets him apart with his 316 service and from other people. On April the 9th, which is a Friday, we return with that 401k virtual conference number 10. Starts at noon Eastern Standard Time. And then especially, for those who may not be aware, Congressman Jamie Raskin, Democrat from Maryland, good friend of mine way back when. He was supposed to appear at that 4K National Virtual Conference. Unfortunately, he had to cancel. There was this little thing called impeachment. He was one of these, one of those House impeachment managers. And of course, obviously a little bit too busy to attend the event. However, he will be the subject of a exclusive that 401k virtual bunch, and that is going to be on May the 10th. So find out for more information, and it should be a lot of fun, and that's also going to start at 4 p.m. Eastern on Monday, May the 10th. So looking forward to that. And let's get back to our subject. You know, I always try to treat people the way I want to be treated. And I would have to say, when it comes to retirement plan business, maybe not locally in my neighborhood, but that's a story for another day. But I will say in the retirement plan industry, it's worked well. Sometimes it doesn't, but most of the time it does. And I really believe as a retirement plan provider, you need to take a certain path. And that's, you know, some bad behavior leads you down that path. It's a great scene in, No Country for Old Men, with, Javier Bardem, who I think steals the movie. And he's talking to Woody Harrelson, and great line, if the rule... you follow led you to this, of what good was the rule? And if your bad behavior led you to some problems in your business, of what good use was that bad behavior? And that's because in the retirement plan business, word travels fast. You know, we are national in scope, this industry, but, you know, it's very close-knit. What you do in New York may be heard across the coast. You know, I'm still amazed still to this day that people actually talk about me, mostly in a good way. And really it's thanks to podcasts, articles, and all that stuff over the last 11 years. You know, when I look at my end, it's great when people say great things about you. It helps your business. You get, you know, so much of my business of referrals through other providers. Oh, you know, you need an agreement, talk to Ari, or, you know, you got a VCP problem, we can't handle it, talk to Ari. I'm kind of like Mikey in the Life Sarah commercial, you know. Give it to Mikey, give it to Ari in the retirement plan business. And, you know, quite honestly, it's great when they talk about you positively, and it's certainly not so great when they talk about you negatively. And, you know, you know, if your business practices or your temper is known for, you know, really bad things, you know, you're going to expect you know, some problems. They'll know about you. And, you know, plan providers keep score. You know, there's certain, you know, some great plan providers out there that, you know, people don't talk about. But, you know, people will certainly talk to you about, you know, plan providers that are terrible. We expect plan providers to be good and work well and be professional. And when they don't, they really stand out for the majority of plan providers that are excellent, you know. Certainly some great TPAs, but I assure you the bad TPAs are mentioned a lot more than the great TPAs. It's just that's the nature of how we talk, the natural pessimism. But more importantly, you know, bad providers stand out from the good providers. You know, people really, you know, again, we expect plan providers to play by the rules and be good citizens, and when they don't, that's when they really, you know, stand out. You know, a 316 that embezzles money from a plan that they administer, like what happened with Jeff Ritchie, he's going to stand out amongst all the other 316 administrators that would never, ever consider stealing from a client. One of the most important parts of your, you know, business is referral sources. It's a huge part of my business, and one of the things that, you know, bad behavior is biting the hand that feeds. You know, referral sources are the biggest blocks you need in building your business. You have to nurture those referral services, and you really can't bite the hand that feeds. And there are two ways you really could do it. Obviously, the first way is stealing business from those that bring you business. You know, it's obviously a bad idea. It can happen if you happen to be connected to, in the same line of business, such as being a producing TPA, producing TPAs in the past. Have taken clients away from people that referred them business. It's happened in the past. I will tell you that if you steal business from people that bring you business, it's not going to go over very well. Years ago, I was at a Morgan Stanley office out Long Island, and the manager of that location advised me that a certain TPA wasn't allowed in that office anymore because they did steal the business of one of his brokers. You know, when you steal clients from people that bring you business, you know, your reputation is going to be shot. The second way you can certainly bite the hand that feeds you is by mishandling the client from those sources of referrals. You know, when you mishandle clients from people that refer you business, that's really a bad thing. I've seen it too many times when an advisor was fired because the TPA that they refer to was incompetent. You know, when people refer you business, you need to bring those clients your best. You know, I made a bad referral once to a CPA firm that bobbled the audit because there were issues of whether they were qualified to produce the audit in New Jersey. Eventually, I did lose that client, and it was a nice fee. But this is what happens. So, you know, we all make mistakes, and I made a mistake with a referral, and I paid for it. You know, you really have one chance to screw up with the people that refer you business. There is no second chance. You lose people, clients, you lose people, one client, you're gone. They will find somebody else. You can't cause harm to the clients or the people who refer you business if you expect more on the pipeline from those sources. You should never, ever bite the hand that feeds if you expect that hand to continue to feed you. Another one on my list, bad behaviors, is obviously being terrible to employees. I will always make that joke. The reason I don't have employees is that I was employed too. The facts about your employees are that they are obviously the most important asset. And you may not recognize that. And I think most providers don't recognize, you know, the importance of their employees. It's that one asset that's really important that I think most plan providers just don't recognize. And I can tell that as a former employee. I mean, there's a stretch from around March 2007 to April 2010, where, you know, I worked for three different companies before I started my own. And working on my own has been the longest I've ever worked for somebody, even though, obviously, it's myself. I can't get into a fight with myself. If I did, there'd be, you know, certainly some problems. But, you know, the fact is good work is obviously hard to come by. You need a solid group of employees. It's really hard to find good talent. There's constant turnover. It wastes resources, that turnover, because of the time you need to hire and train replacements. You know, you can retain employees by treating them right. Because I always say, happy employees don't leave. Whether it's pay or benefits, you need to reward your most important employees. You know, I work for a TPA firm. Our, you know, salaries, you know, I don't know what a bonus was. Salaries, you used to always have to fight for that annual increase. You know, you would hear, working for a narcissist, you would hear about how great you did for the entire year. But when it came down for your salary, you would get a laundry list of how you screwed up and they were doing your job and nonsense. And we had a pretty crappy 401k plan, which just makes sense, you know, the 401k plan business. But they always say that, you know, the cobbler's kids have no shoes. You need to reward your employees. You need to have empathy and understand the decisions you make concerning your employees may have an effect on them, especially if it's negative. You know, every year when they cut back my health insurance and switched it around because of the costs and, you know, the coverage change, and I always had to kick in more money, that was negative. You know, I didn't get a bonus. I got a bonus once, Harvey Berman. After I started working for him, I started working for him September 8th, 1998. December, holiday season, I got a $300 bonus, and that was the only bonus I ever got. As an employee, you know, I did resent the lack of a bonus. I did resent the cutback in benefits and those, you know, paltry raises. When you feel you're not treated, you know, the way that you think you should, you're going to want to look to leave. And I think that plan providers really need to understand that. You know, thanks to consolidation, there's a whole bunch of people that, you know, are on the sidelines because they lost their jobs. But the fact is that good help is really hard to come by. Next really on my list is really being unprofessional with your clients. Clients pay your bills. You need to be professional with them. Not only does it mean that your work has to be excellent, but it also means that you shouldn't try to rip them off. Shoddy work as a retirement plan provider is, you know, obviously unprofessional. If your work is, you know, causing them errors and headaches and grief, you got to look within and try to fix that. Too many times I'd work with TPAs, I'd tell them this is wrong, and all of a sudden it was the plan sponsor's fault. They provided me incorrect information. Well, it's, I think, your job to check what that incorrect information is. If you want to be respected in this business as a professional, you need to do work that is professional. You know, you have to act in a professional manner. You know, and this goes back to my time, you know, I'm 48, going to be 49 in May. I think now we're getting close to that 50-50 mark where I spent half my time in Brooklyn from the time I was born to I was 25 and passed the New York State Bar. I was a resident of Brooklyn, and then from 97 to 2021, I'm a resident of Long Island. But I will always consider myself a kid from Brooklyn. You can take me out of Brooklyn, you can't take Brooklyn out of me. And I always joke, there are some streets in Brooklyn that I know of, and there are streets in Oceanside where I live that I still don't know where they are. It's just the nature. So I'm from Brooklyn. I know a hustle when I see one. You know, but I've seen a lot more hustles in the retirement plan business. I always talk about the two fiduciaries that went into business for themselves and they stole money from clients, that being Matt Hutchinson and Jeff Ritchie. They're both sitting in federal prison. But, you know, that's one hustle. But there are so many other hustles. I think the biggest hustle out there really is trying to chisel clients with unnecessary fees, you know, exorbitant termination costs that a TPA is charging that weren't properly disclosed. surrender charges that, you know, the plan provider wasn't up front for. You know, it could be a new due-based contract, and the provider got you into it, and they're about to tell you about the surrender charges before, you know, the 7 years were up, or whatever it is. And all of a sudden, ooh, look, you got a surprise. You got a 5% surrender charge. And then, you know, there are also just other changes with fees that the provider, you know, forgot to mention at the onset. You know, whether... whatever the shtick, you know, it's really unprofessional, and it's going to drive clients away. Retirement plan business is relationship driven, like I always say, and you got to act with your clients, you got to be really, you know, act in a really professional manner, otherwise it's going to be a problem. You know, being unprofessional certainly goes a long way to lose them. And of course, with being unprofessional, side by side is being unresponsive. Communication in this business, I will always say, is key with your clients and, you know, obviously other plan providers. And one of the big problems is lack of communication. Years ago, I worked at a TPA right near Penn, and there was a plan administrator who wouldn't answer the phone during work hours. He would eventually return those calls after hours, but it would really annoy the clients. Because the clients knew that he was at his desk and that he wasn't, you know, picking up the phone and talking. There have been so many times, you know, dealing with clients and the problems with their retirement plan that it was next impossible to connect, contact the plan provider about the problems. It happens all the time. You know, TPA discovers they made the error. All of a sudden, they're incommunicado. Or, you know, dealing with an advisor who realized they made a mistake and the client... there was a case I remember with a surrender charge where the advisor didn't want to, you know, said the actually the I'm sorry, the advisor actually said they would make the plan whole, and then when it came down to 60 grand, all of a sudden the advisor couldn't be communicated with. You know, that happens. There's really no excuse to be unresponsive. I work for a TPA, and you know, I'll complain about them left and right. But one of the great rules that they had was that. Any phone calls or emails have to be returned within 24 hours. There should be no reason why, you know, you can't return an email or a phone call in 24 hours. Last but not least, this is, you know, something I've been alluding to for some time, was, you know, I have a situation or had a situation with TPA recently where the owner of the TPA refused to budge in termination costs that were never fully disclosed within the contract. And then he tried to claim that the annual administration fee didn't come up with a Form 5500 evaluation. So with this plan, the contract was pretty clear. Annual administration comes with a 5500 and a eval. Client terminates them for 1231. TPA says, you know what, we're not responsible for the 2020 eval. Well, the contract says that you are. To add insult to injury, they... produced a price quote for the 5500 valuation. It was like $70,000, and that was more than 50% of the annual fee that they had collected. So even if you bought the argument from the TPA that they were entitled to the 2020 val and 5500 because those services were performed in 2021, they couldn't make the argument successfully that those fees were reasonable based on the fact that I do not believe that a 5500 and evaluation should be more than 50% of the annual fee that they had actually pocketed. You know, I really didn't understand why the TPA was being stubborn. I had worked with that TPA on two other plans. When I told them that, you know, since we couldn't agree on deconversion fees and the 5500 vals, I threw up my arms and said, you know what? Let the Department of Labor review this. I think they'll find out that I was in the right. You know, I think that most TPAs, most rational TPAs, would decide that it's probably best to negotiate a way out. But this TPA, you know, decided to go to the mattresses. They flipped out. you know, he made some really wild accusations, you know, threatening me because of my, you know, interpretation of what I thought was a really vague and confusing contract that, you know, that firm drafted. And I just didn't understand it. I think that, you know, like I told my wife in 17 years that I've married her, you know, you have to pick and choose your fights. You know, that's a husband and wife. There's certain situations where you're going to have a disagreement and certain situations where the disagreement is going to be loud. But there's certain situations that I believe that you, I call it the matter of, this isn't a hill that I'm, that's worth dying on. There's certain situations where you don't get your way, but you compromise because it's not worth the fight. And I believe that in this day and age, dealing with fee disclosure, dealing with the Department of Labor's real vigor in terms of reviewing plan provider agreements, in terms of really pushing out the fee disclosure environment out there, and really asking questions about plan providers and plan contracts. I just thought it was silly for this TPA to take that stance. And, you know, it's out of my hands right now. We moved on to another TPA who took on the work, and the new TPA took on the work at substantially less cost than the TPA that was fired. You need to pick and choose your battles as a plan provider. Being stubborn can cost you. There are times when you need to be stubborn. There are times when you need to be emphatic in your stance, and there are times when you need to compromise. You know, I think the Kenny Rogers song, you know, you gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run, and you know, that's the gambler. And when dealing with certain situations, I think that you really need to look at your stance and see that, you know, is it really worth it? And I don't like to, you know, for a guy who gets into a lot of fights, I don't like to fight. But, you know, there's some things that are worth fighting for, and there's certain things that are not. You know, you can't take everything as an affront, or everything, you can't be too sensitive. And I think, again, there are certain situations where you want to compromise, where you need to compromise, because, you know, you're in the wrong. And if you're in the wrong and they take it up a level, like to a Department of Labor or to the IRS or to an ERISA litigator, you're going to, you know, escalate something that could have been, you know, dealt with, you know, easier. But that's just my two cents. So I hope you enjoyed this episode of that 401k podcast. Go to that 401ksite.com for further information on all the events. That 401k National Virtual Conference will be next January. Sign up for that. And sign up for that 401k Virtual Conference 10. The bunches that we got with Jamie Raskin and Dan Venturi and all that stuff. So we hope you enjoyed this episode and hope you tune in next week. Take care.